Now, we've talked about the Large Hadron Collider on this programme before, but don't worry, we're not going to bamboozle you with talk about subatomic particles and quarks. The Large Hadron Collider is part of CERN's work in what is a very large laboratory in Geneva. And that renowned body of scientists, CERN, of course, being the European Organisation for Nuclear Research, is behind a very interesting exhibition that's taking place in Salt Hill, Galway at the moment. It's called Accelerating Science and it runs for another 3 weeks. Ronan Rochford is a PhD student in astrophysics at NUI Galway, and he is a facilitated guide providing tours of the public and school students who visit this exhibition there. So it sounds extraordinary. Good afternoon to you, Ronan.
Good afternoon.
Tell us a bit about the exhibition, because it's a mouthful for me now. It wouldn't be my chosen field of expertise, I'd have to tell you.
Well, it's actually not that complicated, really. It's all built for getting secondary school kids in and for the public dropping in at any stage. So you go in the first room and you'll get an introduction to the Big Bang, and it sort of brings you along a timeline from when the Big Bang happened up to the current day. Then the second room, we would have the standard model. It's sort of the model for all of matter, and it just talks about particles and how everything is made up, sort of like the Lego bricks of matter as such. And as the tour continues, there's lots of different gadgets you can be playing with and checking how many atoms are in your body, etc. And we bring you into mysteries of the universe and you start talking about antimatter, dark matter. And the fourth and fifth room is where they actually get to the engineering sort of side of the LHC. You get to see how CERN actually works. You get to see the pipes that they use in the Large Hadron Collider. I get to hear about how accurate it is. And then the final room is the fundamental research, where you get to see how this science could possibly affect the world.
Okay, a good explanation. Now, I want you to imagine this is the X Factor, right? Come in, you're standing on the spot. The three judges are here. We have got Richard, who's Louis. We've got Ken, who's Simon. And we've got Aina, who is, who'll you be? Tunisa, exactly. Okay.
Okay.
Now, explain antimatter and dark matter in 2 minutes.
Wow. Okay, well, the reason it's called dark matter...
One is gone. Okay.
...is because we don't know what it is. It's called dark because we've no clue what it is at the present. Antimatter, on the other hand, is basically... It's the same as our matter, except for an opposite charge, effectively. So where you'd have an electron with a negative charge, you have its antimatter, which is a positron, which is a positive charge. So effectively... It's sort of the same, just different charges.
Ronan, I think Angus let you off the hook there, because the really nasty one is dark energy.
Yes, it is dark energy.
The universe is expanding, and we thought it was slowing down as gravity pulled it back together again. But back in the 90s, they discovered no,
it's going faster.
It is going faster. So there is a kind of anti-gravity force, and nobody has the remotest thought about what it might be, or have they?
These would be questions people would be spending their lives looking at, really. But there's a lot of theory out there of why the universe is expanding, and the dark energy and the dark matter is the prevailing theory. And we weren't able to study it, unfortunately, in the past. But now, because we may have found the Higgs boson and the Higgs field, which sort of relates mass to particles, we can now start to look at this dark energy and dark mass, because it's a way of allowing us to start to study these unknown energies.
Did we find the Higgs boson and can we do it again? Or did we just prove that it does exist? I mean, can you go somewhere now and have a whole heap of Higgs boson to do work with? Or did we just prove that it does exist?
We've proved that it does exist, that it with a 5 sigma, which is a very high accuracy level, we've proven that there's a particle at the energy level that we think is the Higgs boson. So this needs to be tested and proved over the future. And from then we'll be able to say we're sure that the Higgs boson exists.
Well, physics has turned out to be like religion. You have two huge theories which don't reconcile with each other. You're an astrophysicist. You'd be in the world of general relativity and big things and accelerating galaxies and all kinds of things. And then you have the other one, the other room, quantum mechanics.
Yes.
And these two are totally at loggerheads with each other, or so it would seem to us lay people. Is there any hope of a reconciliation, an ecumenical council of scientists who would bring them all together and patch up their differences? Is there any hope of that?
There's always hope. you can there's different theories that tie up everything together. Like the standard model itself doesn't take gravity into account yet. It's one thing that we all know exists, but we can't quantify it as such. So over the next couple of years, with the Higgs field, the Higgs boson, and the standard model as we have it, we're going to be trying to relate these two things together, and it will link the two worlds together and hopefully give us an acceptable answer.
Ronan, I'm going to come back to science in 1 second, but I'm fascinated listening to you and the topic. What's on your iPod? What music do you listen to? What's your topic of conversation when you go? What music do you listen to? Who do you like?
Oh, wow. My friends say I have the most horrible taste in music. I actually sort of like trance and a bit of everything. I'd have, embarrassingly, Whitney Houston sometimes.
Okay, that's not embarrassing at all.
I'd have The Fray. I have David Guetta and those type of music.
Okay. No, I'm just fascinated because, I mean, it's such a specialised subject you're in, and I'm just trying to imagine the topics of conversation when you're queuing to buy a sandwich in the local corner store or whatever.
If you don't have an iPod, if you said to me, what have you got on your iPod, I'd say, don't have an iPod.
I use my phone.
An iPhone or a smartphone.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, you've been to CERN and you've seen what it's like there. Can you describe it for those unlucky people who have never been there, who may never, ever be there?
Yeah, it's actually, it's an amazing place. It's when you arrive, there's... You have to get through like security almost. Like when you walk in, you have to have your credentials. You have to have permission to enter the building. You show them your passport because it's on the border as well of countries. Mm-hmm. And once you're in, it's like an isolated town. You have your own accommodation there. All the buildings, you can walk around and see everything. And there's a gym, a massive canteen. But you have to have key cards then to get into any of the specialised areas.
My image of it in my head is that it's a set from a James Bond film. You know the way there was always an underground thing in a big cave where they were producing plutonium that was
going to... And spy music.
Spy music. Yeah. I mean, is it like that?
Not really, no. The control room is sort of like a James Bond movie. You know, you walk in and there's screens everywhere and... You've no clue what's really going on, but the guys behind the controls obviously do. You don't get to see the particle accelerator yourself. It's buried beneath the ground, and it's 27 kilometres long, so it's not something you'd want to be running into.
When you say you mean a physicist like yourself. If I came with my grandchildren, could I take them in to see things?
Oh, if you go... this is out in Switzerland now, mm-hmm. You're on about. Yeah, you can do school tours out in Switzerland, and... they will show you around the command centre. They'll show you into the factory. You'll get to see where they put everything together. They do all the testing of all the materials and stuff like that. It's a very comprehensive tour. And the level that they speak at is very, very understanding.
And so the exhibition that you have in Galway then is an introduction telling you what they're doing in Switzerland, in fact.
Everything that we do... I went to CERN and I got the tour. And we've all that stuff here in Galway. You can basically get a taste of what it is like to be in CERN. And it's even better than that because you get qualified guys teaching you and talking to you about the actual science behind it. And like they can be as complicated as you want, or they can make it as simple as you want. So it's a blessing to have it here.
And what's your long-term goal, Ronan, in terms of either your research or what you'd like to achieve, or what's the end game for you?
To finish my PhD at the moment is my main goal. But I don't know, I like teaching, I like the idea of teaching, and I'd like to maybe pursue that in the future.
Even though it's quite a difficult subject to teach, I would imagine.
Oh, that's the beauty behind it. You get to try and think of new ways to inspire people into doing it. Like, everything doesn't have to be complicated. If you've a good way of explaining it, like we do, hopefully, to most people... then people will start to understand it. Like, some of the questions we get are absolutely amazing. I had a transition year student asking me about supersymmetry. If anyone has an interest in it, they will learn whatever they want.
And it's the kind of thing you'd have to be on your game, because these young teenagers now will have been sitting in their studies for years, and they probably know enough, almost as much as the lecturer or whatever. You'd have to be ahead of the game. And you've been inspired, obviously, then by some of the people you've seen coming through the door so far.
Oh, yeah. They're very enthusiastic, and they're asking lots of good questions, and they leave... They leave the exhibition asking questions that I don't know if they've ever thought of before, and like, it makes you even think about stuff then, because you're talking about, from my scale, you're talking about astronomy, you're talking about a universal scale, and then you're looking down to the smallest particle, the smallest building block of matter, and it sort of just gives you a perspective of everything around you, and it's actually mind-boggling.
Well, just do you think in pictures or do you think in equations?
I'm a very picture person. I do have to work a lot with equations, but I'm very visual.
Well, if we're in an 11-dimensional universe, how can we picture an 11-dimensional universe?
Well, you see, that's a good question. The way that I would always say to people is, if you were an ant on a pencil, you would only be able to see one dimension. But if you look back from that, you would see if you zoom in on that ant, the ant actually sees it as a three-dimensional thing, but you would only see the ant in one dimension.
Ah, now I understand Eric Cantona when he gave that press conference talking about the salmon or the fish or the seagulls or the trawler or whatever. Anyway, just remind everybody where it's on, Ronan, please.
It's on out in Salt Hill. And it's sponsored by Boston Scientific and the Galway Science Technology Forum. It's in Leisureland out there. So if you drop out to Leisureland in Salt Hill, we'll bring you in and we'll give you a tour, and you'll definitely come out
inspired,
hopefully, yeah.
Well, Ronan Rochford, we look forward to seeing you on the moon or else solving the problems of the world or when you finish your PhD in either 6 months, 2 years, 15 years, or 29 years.
Thanks very much.
Ronan, thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.